You guys know Dixie Turner? I call her Roxy Rich every now and then. She gets mad at me because last Christmas we did this board deal and everybody had a character and her name was Roxy Rich. And so anytime I refer to her from up here as Roxy Rich, she tells me, "Pastor, no one knows what you're talking about when you call me that." And so now I explained it to them. So now I can refer to you as Roxy Rich from now on. I'm very excited about today. We're coming to the fourth Sunday of a series called First Steps. And I can tell you kind of the goal behind this whole thing was that as we enter into the new year, 2016, clean slate, folks maybe hoping to make some changes in some different areas of their lives, to literally ask the question from some folks in the congregation, what would be some of those just very practical, basic first steps in these different areas, finances, fitness, family life, particularly raising children, and then today, faith, who for folks who would say, "Man, I do want to get on track, but maybe I'm overwhelmed. I don't know where to begin. What do I do? Where do I go?" That's kind of been the heartbeat behind this whole thing, and so thanks to Don and Keith and Darla for being with us, and we're going to have Roxy Rich with us today, but I'm going to open us up with a quick story, okay? Right. Just by way of introduction to you. Several weeks ago, my family was at Fun Spot. Raise your hands if you've been to Fun Spot. Okay, awesome. It's fun. I mean, it's a great time. Well, then we were there. We were at Fun Spot, and I was riding a ride with my 8-year-old daughter, Andy, and it was the paratrooper ride. Like, I don't know if you've paid attention to the paratrooper, this thing goes up and down and around, up and down and around, up and down and around, up and down. You get the picture? Up and down and around? This is what it does right here, Jim. Thanks for popping that up for us. Does that look fun, Dixie?
No.
No? That's the paratrooper. That's what the paratrooper does. It goes up and down and around, up and down and around, and it really kind of gets you off kilter. Well, we're sitting there, my 8-year-old and I, we're sitting there, and we're waiting for them to load this whole thing. And so I look up, and there's a bar ahead, above me, and I start banging on this bar. I mean, like, and Andy kind of looks at me, and she goes, "Daddy, why are you doing that?" And I said, "Well, babe, I'm just kind of looking at the nuts and bolts of this thing that are going to hold this thing together." And I said, and this wasn't like a big spiritual time or anything, like we weren't going to pray before the ride or anything like that. But I said to Andy, I said, "You know, I said, we have a lot of faith in this ride." My daughter looks at me and she says, "What's faith?" I'm like, "Kidding me, you pastor's daughter? Like, you don't know faith is?" But she turns to me and she says, "What's faith?" And I said, "Well," I said, "baby, it means to put your trust in something." And I said, "In this case, we are trusting that this ride is not going to fall apart while we're in midair." And I kid you not, Andy looked at me and she said, "Why do you have faith in this ride?" Well, I went through this short list of things of reasons I have faith in this ride. But I ultimately arrived at this. And this is the best I could do for that 8-year-old mind. You know, I said, "Andy," I said, "already today I've seen a whole lot of people get on, ride this thing and have a lot of fun and get off. And they were safe, and they were happy, and they went on with their day." And something occurred to me in that moment, as it relates to my faith life and my walk with Christ. When it comes to my faith in God, there are a lot of reasons that I have faith in God. There are a lot of reasons why I want to be a Christ follower and be a Christian. And I can tell you today, one of the main reasons that I'm willing to give my life to this thing called Christian faith is because I've seen people that I care very dearly for, that I love a whole lot, who are going before me, and they're doing it, and they're looking back with no regrets. In fact, I've yet to meet the believer who late in life, on their deathbed, said, "I wish I would have done things differently. I wish I would not have followed this way." That's great encouragement for me. And so this morning, we're gonna get to hear some testimonies from some people who are young in the faith and they're on fire. But I'm also very thankful today for those who are many steps ahead of me on the journey and are on fire. And Dixie, without getting sappy and trying not to cry, you're one of those people. And there's a lot of them in Center Point. There's a lot of them for me, literally all around this world. But when it came to first steps for faith and who I would love to share some things with, anybody in our congregation would say, man, how do I get back on track? You're one of those people. So thanks for loving the Lord. Thanks for being a faithful example. And real quick, who modeled the way for you? Like when you think about maybe one or two people in your life who really showed you the way of faith, who comes to mind?
Before I say that, I want to say that I had a lot of apprehension about doing this. And a lot of people have prayed last night, this morning, during the night, and I have. And I really didn't want to do it. But my love for the pastor and my love for God, and he doesn't always call us to do the comfortable thing. And when he doesn't, there's this little voice in your feelings that say, just don't do it. But I've learned along the way, you're not supposed to say that, because God wants us to be there for him. And if he's in me, then I have to forget who I am and say, okay, God, I will do it. So when you ask me about the people in my life, I'd sort of like to start out long ago because that's how it did happen. And it was 40 years ago, and I didn't have faith and trust in God or Jesus. I had gone to church as a child. I knew about them, but it was just a knowledge. And I thought that was all I really needed. I wasn't a bad person. I really don't even think I understood that I was a sinner. And so I was in a bad marriage. I was really struggling, and I had a child. And I just started looking around, and one of my friends, I noticed that she was very faithful in church attendance. She was separated from her husband. She had two kids, was working two jobs, and yet she was always joyful, always kind, always willing to help out. And I did go to church with her once. It was a Baptist church, and I was a little bit like, whoa, you got to walk down there. You got to say yes. I don't think this is for me. So I thought, I'm going to get her alone and ask her. So I got her alone, and she spoke the gospel message to me. Now, when that message came, it wasn't just my yes, but it was God. It was a gift from him. He gave me a gift. I need to put my glasses on. And it says in Romans, this one isn't on there, Jim, Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes by hearing. That is hearing the good news about Christ. And she told me the whole thing. And at that point, I didn't understand why I was willing to say, yes, I will pray with you and I will do it. And so then she said to me, Dixie, you need to read your Bible. And I just had a real old King James version I was probably given at confirmation. And it seemed very confusing. And so when I started going to church, some people gave me the Living Word, or the Living Bible. And then she also gave me, and I found these cards, you can see they're yellow, but she gave me about five of them with scriptures on. And when I went to look for this, the first one was Romans 10:17. I think that one's on there, Jim. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So right there, that's where my faith comes from. But then you have to keep building on that. So what I'd like to tell you is that you have to grow your faith. God gives that to you, but it's a little seed. And it has to be in rich soil. And so where am I going to get my nourishment? Well, just as our bodies need food every day, your soul needs food. So you need some soul food. And that's in your Bible.
Soul food.
Yes. It's the word and the mind of God. And you know what? That's a love letter to us. He loves us so much that he has given us 66 books. And in each one, he's given you people who followed him. And do you know what? It wasn't always easy. They didn't even have an easy time all the time, but they trusted him. So I want to go back. My friend, her name was Debbie. But then, Pastor, you ask about some others. Then it seemed like I had to move several times, and every time I would move, my son and I would find a new church. But I knew I couldn't just be in that church. I needed fellowship. I needed relationship. So I would find someone, and usually I would try to find somebody older because I didn't have family, and I knew I needed somebody that could sort of show me a roadmap. And so they were great in leading me. So you need to read your Bible and try to read it every day, because that's what transforms us. That's our GPS for life. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." So this is his manual for us, not the world, not a novel. That's where we need to go. And we have to pray before we read it, because we want to ask the Holy Spirit to come alongside us and to help us and to minister to us so that we can understand it. And if you don't get it the first time, you keep going back there, because even though you don't know it, he's bathing you with that word. That word is getting in your mind, and he will bring it back to you in times of trial. And I would suggest you find a version of a Bible that is easy for you. There's so many versions out there today. And also, there's so many sources on the internet. And a lot of you are way more technology than I am. But there's a wonderful one called BibleGateway.com. And it will even read it to you. So sometimes if things are really down and you feel like, I just don't even know if I can read, if you'll put it on there, hit the microphone, it'll read any chapter, any book, any scripture to you. There's another one called BibleHub.com. And then just don't be discouraged, because you know what? This is a lifelong journey.
That's good.
It's not going to be in 1 week. It's not going to be, okay, this week I'm going to do it, next month I'm going to do something else. It has to be continual. After I got divorced, it seemed like everything went real smooth, and I really praised God. Oh, you know, this is how it's going to be now. But I continued reading my Bible, reading, and then I was diagnosed with cancer. And it came to me, that's what you were doing, Dixie. He was preparing you for the next thing. We never know what's coming in the future. And so I was prepared, because through his word, I knew his character, I knew his promises, and I knew I could depend on him. It wasn't what was going to happen, but our relationship was going to stay the same. And my faith was in him and not something else, not the doctors, not what I was going to have to go through, but he was going to be by my side no matter what the outcome was. So the first thing is, read your Bible. Number two, I would suggest that you meditate on that word. And that doesn't have to be a big thing, but just apply it to yourself and where you are. Maybe even write down something in a journal. One thing I like to do is put it on a 3x5 card and put it in my car. And if you're in Orlando, there's a lot of traffic and you get stopped, and look at that verse. Ask God, what are you saying to me today? You know, and you might not need it that day, but it might come up, you need it some other time. Carry it with you. Pray it. Just live through that scripture. The third thing is, you need to apply it. That's the application, and you need to share it. And as James writes, be doers of the word and not just hearers only, or you're deceiving yourself. That means we can't just come to church and hear it. We've got to do something with it. What did God say to me today? How am I going to use it when I go into the workplace, into my home? And Pastor preaches about this all the time. And through using it and doing it, he will build your faith more. You need to share your faith with others. You need to act on what the word says. And then you need to learn from others. And I would like to say, that in the community group, There's where you have a lot of people that have gone before you. And then there's people who are coming behind us. We need to look at them too and help them along the way and tell them where our faith came from. Some of the people, Pastor, well, there's so many in this church. I hate to mention the ones, but... And you need to look at their lives and the things they've been through. There's things I haven't been through, and I look at some of you, and it gives me such faith because I realize, Lord, if that happens to me, I see them. I see what they're doing. They're a living testimony. God gave us people like that in the Bible. For instance, Joseph, when I look at his life, and then when I look at... Abraham and what he did and how his faith held. There's just so many. That's why he put him there. That's why we need to know about them. And it talks about in Hebrew 11, that cloud of witnesses, they're up there cheering for us. And they're saying, come on, look at my life. Well, we're a part of that story too. We're in that Bible and we're here on earth and we're supposed to be telling that story. Our lives should be telling that story. Some of the people that inspire me also is Johnny Erickson. She's a young girl at 18 who broke her neck, and she's in a wheelchair, and that the ministry that she has and continues. Another one, Mother Teresa. Read novels on these people who have gone before us and how they have served, how they've trusted the Lord. Another one is Corrie Ten Boom, who was in a concentration camp and what her life was like. And Job. So all of those are there for us to make our faith stronger. So in closing, I just want to say that you need to build your faith, and you can do that by reading your Bible, meditating on the Word, and applying and sharing the Word.
Awesome.
Is that enough?
That's it. I appreciate that, Dixie, and it's I can tell you this. Three summers ago, I was able to go with our youth group to Jamaica on their summer mission trip, and it was a great experience, great time being with them, seeing what God's doing in Jamaica, and absolutely one of the highlights of that time was in conversation with Dixie, as she's not boasting about herself, but just sharing testimony about what God has done in her life and in the life of her family. And I know that so many of us possess those types of stories as how God has brought us through, how God has revealed his faithfulness over and over again. And thanks for that encouragement. If you're saying today, you know, where do I go to take some first steps in my life of faith, in my walk with Christ, get in the Word. And if there's any way that I can help you with that or that you need some help in that, please let us know. It can be challenging sometimes to take a book that's this size and think, okay, well, I've got to go read that thing. And I love what you say, Dixie, about the idea that this is a lifelong journey. And some of us, sometimes we get 1 week into it and we think, oh, I'm confused or I don't know where to go. Reach out for some help if that's the case. There's a couple of things this morning. If you pull out your worship folder, there's an insert inside your worship folder. On the back side of that insert, there's some resources for you there. I want to be clear about this. All of the resources that are mentioned at the top are secondary to the Scripture. Okay? Please, 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 if you want to be a Christ follower, if you want to take this thing seriously, if you want to get on the path he has for you, get into the Word. But then there are some other helps along the way where we can glean from others, learn from others. And there's a list there. It's not an exhaustive list by any means. But if you say, you know, I'd like something else to come alongside my time in the Word to help me grow, to encourage me, pick up one of those. At the bottom, there's a section there entitled Introduction to Jesus. It's simply a 30-day scripture guide for you. So if you say, you know, I'm new to this thing, maybe you're a Christ follower, maybe you're not, and you just think, who is Jesus? What is his life all about? There's a 30-day devotional guide on the back there for you that will literally just walk you through Jesus' life in chronological order. So you'll be skipping around in the first four books of the New Testament. But if you if you're faithful to read those, journal through those, as Dixie said, meditate and apply those, great encouragement along the way to help you get started in the Word. So I don't think Dixie wants to field questions right now, but I know that she would love to have some conversation with you later. If you'd like to corner her, that would be awesome. So Roxy Rich, thank you so much for your time this morning. Put your hands together. And we really do have some video of her dancing to Mumford and Sons, but we'll save that one for another day. One of the most important aspects in the life of the believer as we're on this journey is the opportunity for baptism. You've heard me mention on several occasions that in the Church of the Nazarene, we actually celebrate two sacraments. One sacrament is intended to be received often, and we share in it often, and that is the sacrament of communion, or the Lord's Supper, when we come down front, and we actually move towards the cup and towards the bread, and it's this way of giving thanks to God and saying thank you for your body, your blood, for forgiveness of sins, and this opportunity to be nourished for a new life. The second sacrament, though, is intended to be exercised in the life of the believer one time. It's not something that we do as people. It is the gift of God in our lives, and that's baptism. And this morning, I'm very, very honored to be able to share in baptism with six folks from Centerpoint Church.